This is the Taz and Jim podcast. Best of Taz and Jim podcast.
More flurries possible. Looks like we could see flurries next couple days. So more snow on the way if you're a fan of shoveling or if your wife is a fan of shoveling. But if your wife is a fan of shoveling, don't post a video of her shoveling snow on social media unless you want to get canceled.
Good Lord, is this guy ever dealing with it? There's this Manitoban politician. He's the Minister of Economic Development and Jobs. His name is John Reyes. And he posted a photo of his wife. It looks like it's, mid-morning or something like that. And she's shoveling the laneway. A lot of snow. It is Manitoba, after all. And he tweets out the picture. Even after a 12-hour night shift at the hospital last night, my wife still has the energy to shovel the driveway. God bless her and all our frontliners. Time to make her some breakfast. Pray hands or whatever you call that emoji.
Thank you. The thank you emoji.
Sure, okay.
Yeah.
And people are jumping down like, how dare you? Wait, your wife just pulled a 12-hour shift and now she's shoveling while you're inside? I kind of get it, but he also has a job. It's relatively important.
Uh-huh.
And she went online after and also said, I didn't ask him. I went out and did it after him. It was my own choice. I did it. But I'm just shocked how many people, and especially how many women on Twitter, are jumping down this guy's throat for allowing his wife to shovel the lane. Like, aren't we in 2021? Can the guy... Like, does the guy have to shovel the laneway every time?
Yeah.
Like, I do. I don't mind doing it. But if a woman decides, I'm going to shovel the laneway today.
I'm scared to say anything, Jim. I don't know. I don't think you can say anything that's not going to get people upset on this topic.
Well, get upset then, losers.
You could say equality. What happened to equality? Like, this guy is treating his wife as a complete equal. She can shovel, he can shovel, whoever shovels.
Yeah. And there's like so many people on Twitter thinking they're owning him by saying, shouldn't she be cooking you the breakfast and you be shoveling? And I bet you many of these people fancy themselves quite the progressive. But they see this and they can't help but jump down a guy's throat for no reason.
If he had posted a video of his wife making him breakfast and tweeted, just got in from shoveling. Thank goodness my wife was in the kitchen making me breakfast while I was out there. He'd probably get the same reaction.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Like, to counter my argument a little bit, Taz, he was also up at 2:45 a.m. tweeting about the international tennis tournament going on in Australia. So, he may have had some time to do it himself.
Uh-huh.
But still, it bothers me how, even now, people think that they're, like, winning an argument by saying that the guy should be out there.
I have a neighbor, and I won't mention him by name because I know what a hot button topic this is, and I don't want to get him into trouble. His wife, 8 months pregnant, saw her shoveling the driveway the other day.
Good on her. She's awesome.
Yes.
It's like you see that, you should be saying, hey, look at her getting some exercise and doing some work. Not, where's her damn husband?
Well, I do say that to my neighbor. I'm like, what's your secret? How do you get away with that? That is incredible.
Yeah.
She mows the lawn. She does all the trimming with the whippersnipper.
Hey, it's great exercise, fresh air.
Yeah.
Get her done.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast. Best of Taz and Jim podcast.
Jim, yesterday was National DJ Day. And we want to thank all the Taz and Jim listeners who sent us notes. Very, very kind words. We appreciate you responding because we were totally fishing for them yesterday on the air. The only reason we brought up that it's National DJ Day was so you would send us nice messages. Thank you for that. But after seeing this viral video later on in the day yesterday, I kind of thought maybe we don't deserve a day because I definitely would not have handled this situation as well as this woman did. I think today should be National Field Reporter Day. This is wild. Tell everyone the story.
This reporter took one for the team, I would say. She's a 25-year-old reporter from West Virginia. On live TV, there was a water main that was hit by a car earlier that day, so water was everywhere, and it was also cold, so I think the water had also frozen on the West Virginia streets, so things were slippery. So the host back at the news station goes to throw it to the reporter in the field. Before she's able to say even one single word, an SUV slowly comes into frame and actually hits the reporter live on television.
In freeze thaw, we see this. Water main breaks.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's first for you on TV, Jory.
Woo! We're all good. I'm okay. Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good. I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
Wow.
I am so good.
This girl's a magnet. Yeah.
You're okay. You're okay. We're all good. This is,
She's pulling the camera back up. It fell over.
One woman band. You're okay, Troy?
We're good, Tim. Ma'am, you are so sweet, and you are okay.
Wow.
So the woman who was driving pulled over, checked on her. It was obviously an accident, but... And the good thing is she just got clipped. Like, she didn't get fully run over. Like, the front fender of the SUV hit her. She got clipped. She fell forward into the camera. But it could have been much worse. The car could have driven over her leg very easily. But she just got bumped.
I'm a little disappointed with Tim back at the station. Did it not sound like Tim should have been a little more concerned?
Yeah, his face doesn't change expressions. I don't know if it's Botox or just alcohol and he doesn't care anymore. He's like a seasoned TV vet who's
scotch,
seen it all.
Scotch.
I think he even goes on to like act pretty neutral here.
It is all good. You know, Oh, Lord.
So you...
You know, it's my last week on the job and I think this would happen.
So you were
specifically
bumped in,
to me, Tim.
Were you bumped down low, Tori, or were you hit up high? I couldn't really tell from the look at it.
I don't even...
Still?
Do you know if I was bumped down low or up high, sir?
I just saw you disappear.
I don't even know. I don't even
see. He still doesn't.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that was weird. Yeah.
Great questions, Tim.
Hey, yeah. Now get to the water main, would you?
Hey, Tori, enough about you. Why are you trying to make this about you? I thought there was a water main breakdown there.
These young reporters always so egotistical. It's always about them.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
The best of Taz and Jim.
Way to go, Jim. I thought we had made up and we were going to go into the weekend as friends, but now we're arguing again.
Torn apart.
You're telling me off the air about this article, and I refuse to believe that this is factual. I think you're getting something wrong here.
No. If I have, then you can blame the Toronto Star, because they put this article out, and it's talking about Ontario's favorite booze over the last 2 years, basically since the pandemic started. So this is from a little before the pandemic, actually. It's February 3rd, 2019. Till September 15th, 2021. So
most popular booze in Ontario.
Yeah. And I also saw other articles sharing this information that the Toronto Star broke and called it embarrassing for Ontario was the narrative that I saw. Because number one, most popular drink in Ontario for the last 3 years at the LICBO is Smirnoff Berry Blast.
Come on.
Number two, White Claw. Hard seltzer, black cherry.
There is no way this is accurate.
Number three, Twisted Tea Original. Number four, neutral soda lemon. And number five, White Claw hard seltzer
mango.
No
way.
I'm looking at the top 10.
So this is out of all booze. So this includes spirits like...
whiskey, Crown Royal.
Tito's Vodka.
Labatt Blue.
Grey Goose.
Yes.
Bud Light, Miller Light. You're telling me that Smirnoff Berry Blast is selling more units than Bud Light is.
Yeah, are you that surprised? I mean, you walk into the LCBO though, and the biggest display is the Smirnoff stuff. They got, you know, if you know anything about retail.
Well, is this including sales at the beer store and grocery stores, or is this just the LCBO? Like, there's got to be a caveat here, because there is no way Smirnoff Berry Blast, which I don't think I have ever had in my life.
I think you had, it looks like the Rocket Popsicle one, right? You know that one? It's like the blue, red, white one?
I've had a traditional Smirnoff Ice, and there is nothing wrong with drinking one of those on a hot summer day.
In fact, icing a friend is a Canadian tradition. No, so this is, Toronto Star's got this damn subscription lock on it. So okay. There's a paywall. But I did see a quick thing before it, and it did say LCBO specifically.
All right. So this is not, I knew something was up.
But even if, yeah, but I mean, even from the LCBO, like the hottest spots in the retail section is always the end of the aisle. So that is always whatever's at the end of the aisle, which is where the Smirnoff always is, and the Twisted Teas now.
Coolers and seltzers have become very dominant in this space in the past couple of years. Like you see a new type of seltzer coming out every couple of weeks, it seems.
Yeah, and the beer companies themselves, they're not revolutionizing the beer company. Like Bud Light's not coming out with new beer flavors necessarily. They're coming out with seltzers and stuff like that. And
that's
true.
Trying
to chase that market. So there's clearly the money there. But I would say Twisted Tea is the one I would see the most often. That was number three.
You
I thought
like
that
would
be number one.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's a lot of dudes going, I can't believe this. This is, but meanwhile, they would secretly love a Pombay. You know, like they're delicious. I mean, you don't want to drink them all night because they can make you feel twice as bad in the morning. But come on, these drinks.
What's,
the
in, what, what's in your Bubba mug? Open up your Bubba mug,
it's
there,
a,
tough
no,
guy.
It's a Guinness.
I'm smelling hints of berry and blast.
The best of Taz and Jim.
And if you're heading into the operating room and you hear that your surgeon is blaring AC/DC over the speakers, don't panic. It's actually a good thing, Jim.
Yes. Apparently, a study says that if surgeons listen to AC/DC, they perform the surgeries faster and more accurately.
Wow.
So they were listening to Highway to Hell and TNT. We're the same thing kids listen to before their hockey practice. Or and adults,
up.
Whatever.
Got to keep the energy up, right?
And they did 5% better on tests on accuracy. And precision cut dropped from 236 seconds to 139 seconds.
Kind of like Tony Stark was onto something, because isn't that what he'd listen to when he was welding that Iron Man suit?
I think so. That could have been in his head because he was in a cave.
AC/DC,
but I mean, when you're driving, you definitely drive faster when AC/DC comes on. So I could see it.
Surgeons perform better when listening to AC/DC. I'll keep that in mind when I go in for my vasectomy in a couple months.
I've got big
put on these headphones.
Such big balls and a fancy big balls. And he's got big balls and she's...
You're not a fan of that one, Doc? What about this one here?
She got you by the balls.
Get at those vas deferens, Doc.
I want it quick and accurate.
She got you by.
This is a full-on Weekend at Bernie's situation, Jim.
Yeah. I don't know how it got this far, but it's a great story. This story was actually sent to me by my aunt and said, Only in Ireland.
The Kelly clan is having a chuckle about this one.
Very proud. Well, this would be my girlfriend's aunt. They live in England. I think they laugh at Irish people, kind of like we laugh at newfies almost, you know. I think that's the kind of
we're not allowed to do that anymore.
I blame the uppity British then.
That's not acceptable. So this is what happened. There's three guys walked into a pension office. One of them was there to collect their pension, 66-year-old Peter Doyle. The other two men that were with them were very close to Mr. Doyle, like physically close to him. Almost looked like they were holding him up.
Yeah, you know, like when Michael Jackson has those fake dancers on his shoulders? Was that Michael Jackson?
No, that was like a Michael Jackson. Like the guy who does the Village People?
Yeah, and he does all of them and they're all puppets?
Yeah. It's like one
that.
Real guy in the middle with
it's
the
like
fake
that?
Guys. It's like that.
But
so
the reverse.
So Peter Doyle was in the middle. These two men had been there earlier trying to collect Mr. Doyle's pension, but they were told unless Mr. Doyle was there in person to sign a document, they could not release his check. So they came back with Peter, and the person working at the pension office got a little concerned with how pale Mr. Doyle was looking.
Okay, sign number one.
It was at this point that the two men with him panicked and dropped him on the ground and ran out of the office.
So close.
Yeah, 66-year-old Peter Doyle was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they claim he died on the walk over.
What are the odds? And they didn't notice.
Police weren't buying it. Officers say that they went as far as making it look like Mr. Doyle was waving at people.
I wonder if they had a stick to his hand or a string, maybe. I also love it, too. They described him when they were carrying the unfortunately dead man into the post office. His feet were dragging behind him.
Uh-huh.
Like, they didn't tape the legs to their legs and, like, have them moving or anything. Well, it was, like, purely an unconscious or dead person.
Everybody knows you just you pretend that he was really drunk the night before, right?
Yeah, put sunglasses
on
him.
When you're trying to pretend a dead body is still alive, you just make comments like, oh, big night at the pub last night, eh, Pete?
You know Mr. Doyle.
Detectives are attempting to establish what laws were broken during the incident because it's kind of a rare one.
I gotta believe fraud's on there somewhere.
But these two men are in big trouble. And the mayor of the town this happened in says, I cannot believe anyone would do something like that. It beggars belief. I'm just shocked. It's like an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
But funnier. Great effort. I mean, obviously terrible people, but boy, they went for it.
The best of Taz and Jim.
Every day at the start of the show, we post a fun little meme, something that somebody has sent us or that we saw on the internet that made us chuckle. So we share that with you every day. And the one that you posted today, Jim, is getting some good reaction. Tell everyone about it.
It was a simple question that we've all been through, basically, if you've had a sibling. What was the wildest thing you've ever thrown at your sibling? And there's a lot of very dangerous answers here. Janelle says, I threw an anchor at my brother at the lake.
Whoa.
Paul says, I threw a pog slammer. It was kind of shaped like a ninja star. Some of those slammers are scary.
What is a pog? I know what the pogs are. They're the little collectible circle things. But what's the slammer look like? Plastic? Metal? What's it made out of?
It depends. The pogs themselves are cardboard or paper, but the slammers were generally metal or something heavy to disrupt as many pogs as possible. Right. So
you wouldn't want to get hit with a pog slammer.
And a lot of them were shaped exactly like a ninja star or like a saw blade or something. It's, yeah, very dangerous.
The 90s, come on.
For a wild time.
This is a kid's toy.
Speaking of kids' toys, Sean, this one is very relatable. Lawn darts. How many times did your older brother or somebody, you know, try to get one as close to you as possible without hitting you?
That's why you can't buy them unless you find, you know, a guy who knows a guy now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, from America.
Lawn darts aren't readily available like they were a couple decades ago.
Also, the most thrown board game of all time. I threw a Monopoly board at my brother and it ripped in half. That was the last time we played Monopoly, says Phil.
Just pure frustration.
Elizabeth says, I once threw a bag of garbage. Unknown, it had broken glass in it. 17 stitches across the thigh. Needless to say, she never refused to take the garbage out again after that. Patty says, I threw one of those portable can openers that had a pointed end that punctured cans and stuck in the back of her leg.
Oh, like the old school, like that you use on the apple juice can.
Yeah.
The triangle.
Yeah. Michelle says, I once...
It's like a throwing knife.
Basically.
You got a scar in the shape of an apple juice hole on your leg.
That's my Allen's apple juice scar. Michelle says, I gave our brother a black eye with a Pee Wee Herman lunchbox. This is something I can absolutely relate with. Adrian says, WWF wrestling ring, and then whip those hard-ass rubber wrestling figures at them.
Your older brothers did that to you?
Oh, yeah. Well, my buddy's older brother did it to him and me. Those things, you could hum those bad boys.
They were not hollow at all. Those were just a solid piece of rubber plastic. And like if you use the King Kong Bundy, one of the larger wrestlers, that's a heavy piece of plastic. I'll tell you, this wasn't a toss, but I had three sisters growing up that I lived with, and their main attack weapon, and they'd swing it around like a mace by the leg, a Cabbage Patch doll. You have the soft body, but that head is just a solid piece of plastic.
Yeah, and the hard eyes.
Right, they come at you with the Cabbage Patch doll. You better start running.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.